Ownership is all about building on your own success with your own self-discovery. Your life is your business. Take ownership of it. Together, let's unlock the next level of your life. Ownership is here to help lead you without all the noise and distractions. There are hot topics and lessons in life to keep you entertained, gain value, and even some enlightenment all along the way. Ownership is brought to you by Allison Andrews Cantor, a certified coach and business leader with over 20 years of experience under her belt. A battle-born and proven successful entrepreneur, she is on a mission to help individuals take back ownership of their personal life. So are you ready? Let's go. Here she is, your host, Allison Andrews Cantor.
All right, here we go. Episode 15, 15. We are doing it. We are here. As always, in studio, the Ownership Podcast studio, live and proud and fun and full of joy, I have my work husband, my partner in crime here at the Take Ownership Podcast, Mr. Jay Brown.
We forgot best friend.
Bestie.
Thank you.
Bestie.
I love how you call it the Ownership Podcast Studio, which is AKA known for your dining room.
It's brilliant. You know, the best conversations happen at this space.
So they do.
It's totally appropriate.
Yeah.
This space is good energy for this.
It is.
It's absolutely apropos.
It is. Yeah. It's amazing how we take your dining room.
It's insane.
Give me 45 minutes and convert it into a podcast studio. This is fantastic.
It's brilliant. And the acoustics are pretty solid.
They are.
They're pretty darn solid here.
Except when we get chickens in the background or dogs barking.
It's authentic. It adds the charm of the podcast. We're real people.
And thank you for my mimosa bar this morning. I do appreciate it.
You're valuable. I know how to get you happy on a podcast.
You do. It's a little bit of liquor.
Stop.
It makes it so much easier to do.
You know what? Stop. Don't run from your emotions. We can unpack that later.
Okay.
We're going to have to go back to the mine and drugs episode. Flirting with sobriety. When it gets too rough, we don't go right, run and escape and cover it up.
Speaking of mine and drugs and stuff like this, you know what? You have something to celebrate right now. And if a lot of people don't know, because we haven't talked about this.
Celebration equals mine and drugs?
No.
Jay, we are going to unpack more. You're taking episode 15 the wrong direction of what we are going to talk about today. I like where you're going with this. I like it.
You mentioned a chapter in the book.
I did.
And you can now call yourself a published author.
Isn't that wild?
That is so wild.
It's
still
thrilling.
Waiting for my autographed copy.
I got it right there for you. I got it right here. This is going to be yours today.
Autographed copy. It says it has a sweet little note in there. And then thank you for all you do. And I have the big old Allison Andrews Cantor autograph in there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. My signature A's.
So I can sit on my coffee table. It'll be a coffee table.
XXO. Oh, got it. Done and done.
So published author. How does that feel?
You know, it's great. And actually, I wouldn't be able to be a published author if it wasn't for me having the insider knowledge to know that if I was going to do this and be serious about it, I needed to get myself a coach. And I will tell you what, if you are going to a therapist, a coach, or anybody that's supposedly the designated authority of whatever their space is, they also better have experts that they're utilizing too. If you're going to an expert in an area that doesn't utilize other experts, that's a huge red flag, by the way. So anyways, I ended up hiring Kim O'Hara was my book coach, and she is killer. And the first book I actually wrote is not the Ownership book that is now out. This is the second version. The first one was much more raw, and I was in the middle of my divorce. And actually, she interviewed me on You Should Write a Book About That and on her podcast. And if you even listen to my voice, I mean, I was in it. I was literally going to Rady's Children's Hospitals weekly with my son. I was in the middle of filing for the divorce. I mean, it was gnarly, but she was my coach and she cracked open and helped me do some deep therapy and get my thoughts in my brain out onto paper and in a way that could be palatable for other people and have value, keyword value. That's why the first book is not published because it's of no value other to me. But she is so rad. And right now, this is even cooler. You you guys. Kim O'Hara, my book coach, is offering our listeners of the Ownership Podcast right now who mention Ownership, $250 off her new class. And her new class is banging, you guys. If you've ever thought, man, I'd love to write a book. I should write a book about that. I would love to contribute, add something to this world. She is having a new class. This is great. It's Build Your Book Outline. So $250 off this class. Mention Ownership and you can get to know my book coach, and she's just incredible. I can't say enough about her. I even put her in the dedication page. So there you go.
It's fantastic.
I know.
I love that.
I know. Full circle moment here.
Full circle moment here.
I have my published book that she helped me write and unlock that. And now she's a show sponsor supporter and, you know, giving our listeners $250 off her class. This is rad. Full circle here.
It is.
But I love full circle.
But for a moment, let's be real. How does it feel? I'm not serious because I had a moment the other day and I shared it with you and I shared it with everybody on Instagram. So if you saw it, where I saw one of the videos that I produced on a big video wall at our Park and Market building
in
downtown.
It's like our Times Square.
It's this big video wall.
Yeah.
And it was really cool.
Super cool,
so,
man.
So for me, that was like my proud moment. Yes. Like, yes.
And
like,
sit in that.
Okay. It was glorious. But how does it feel to physically hold your book, physically hold it in your hand and go, I wrote this. These are my words. These are my thoughts. And now you have to share that out with other people. How does that feel?
So it's bittersweet, believe it or not. It's actually really bittersweet. And there's something, and this is all first author problems, right? It's multifaceted. Holding this book and having it be a tangible asset that is out where people can have it in their hand, read it, crack it open, smell it, throw it in their bag is beyond epic. It is real. It is alive. This is happening. We've done it. But there's this author mentality where it's never finished. Like, it could be better. It could change. And you have to remember, a book is also a time capsule. Especially this style of book. This is a time capsule of when I was in it. And there's so many more lessons and there's so many other tools that have been built. If anything, it just makes me hungrier to write book two, the follow-up with all this stuff. So the podcast has been a great outlet to build on what's in the book and go deeper. And I want to do more. Like, that's the funny thing is it's like insatiable, right? Like, you just can't sit in this. I'm like, okay, what's the next move? But that's always been me. I'm a level jumper. I'm like, okay, I accomplished one goal. What's the next one? But no, this is thrilling. It's powerful. I wish this book would have been there for me when I was in it. That's why I wrote it. And I feel like when you're in something as big and life-changing and altering as, let's say, a divorce, which is kind of the antithesis in the time capsule that this book was written, you really have this awakening of where you've lost ownership of yourself, your identity, your individuality, and your role that you play in the world and in your relationship, and how you get from one point to that point and how you arrived at whatever conclusion you're in and what you got to do to not repeat the same mistake, so to speak. So it's beautiful. And I really, really hope it helps be comforting and a tool that people can take and again, get ownership over their life, however that may be and what situation they're in. And that's what we're here to do. And that's my next calling. And that's my call of service and career move. And I hope it has impact for our listeners, our viewers, and the readers. I really, really do. I would be honored.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And for book two, there should be a chapter, Jay, my partner in crime, fun, and podcasting.
Jay, do you just want me to ask you to marry me now? I mean, where are we going? Jesus, Lord have mercy. God, we're already getting people DMing us asking if we're dating and stuff. I mean, it's just getting a little out of control here. It's okay. It'll be really cute.
It'll be really cute
in like 20 years where we both just look at each other and we're like, okay, enough monkeying around. Obviously, we haven't found somebody else. Let's just call a spade maybe. No, I don't know. Are we each other's fallback? Are we like in a rom-com? Maybe. Is this a rom-com?
This could be a rom-com.
Thing?
This could. Jesus. I couldn't skip this any better. But you know what the thing I love how people are DMing you and saying this because
I know I screenshot and I send it to you because it's hilarious.
But what I love is that the friendship that you and I've had for as long as we've had, it just goes to show that, you know what, you're probably like my ride or die. It's like, if I was in a jam, I could pick up the phone, call you in a heartbeat,
I'm
and you'd
honored.
Be like,
I'm honored.
I'm on my way. So again, I do appreciate the many years of friendship that we have, and I look forward to many more years of that with you. Thank you
and
so
same.
Much. Thank
Vice
you.
Versa. It's ditto.
I'm tolerable. As, cut it out.
I can't even. I'm flustered. Okay. Anyways, let's talk about
what are we talking about today?
15 is all about career. I mean, we're in it. We're talking about this career right now, this ownership space that I'm now, you know, facilitating and the designated authority with your assistance in. But one of the things about career and the reason why it even deserves its own podcast is it's so significant to our wellness in our life. I mean, we know this. If you do not like the job or the work you are doing, you're going to have burnout. You're going to be depressed. You're not going to be healthy. You're going to make other poor choices. You might be self-medicating in ways that are not to your best interest. I mean, the list goes on and on. You might come home and be a terrible partner or a bad parent. I mean, it just goes on and on, right? So career is huge, and we spend majority of our time in our career. And it's like the wild, wild west in all the best ways. Today, with the ability of the internet and new technology and new job markets that never existed when my parents were working, even when I was coming up in my career, there was no digital space. I mean, people didn't even have websites. We were still using business cards. But I mean, at the end of the day, we can literally be on our laptop working from the ski slope. I just saw this awesome post of somebody literally working from the Swiss Alps while they're in between taking runs on the slope. And I was like, that's brilliant. And this is the world we're in now. So our career, there really is no excuse in some level not to have career satisfaction. And I am saying that. And I know a lot of people are like, well, there's people out there that have to do really crappy jobs. No. That's your perspective that it's a crappy job. That doesn't mean it's a crappy job. It just might not have the status or the pizzazz or the panache that you need to facilitate maybe your ego or what you think is worthy of a cool career. Okay. So I don't think any job out there is actually a crappy job or a crappy career. I think it's all perspective. I think it's all attitude. And I think it's all how you take pride and joy in whatever designated authority you're in. And on that note, actually, Jay, I write about it in the ownership book. There is a chapter on career. And I write about somebody I got to observe. And it was rad. And it left such an impression on me that it's so noteworthy. I share this story in the book. I'm going to share it now too. Is one time I was going to a huge corporate campus. I think I was soliciting a sponsor. Who knows what I was doing? I was wheeling and dealing, doing what I do. And all dressed up. And I mean, it's a busy corporate campus. People are coming in and out. They're in suits. They're looking great. They got the red bottoms. I mean, it's a beautiful space. And beautiful marble front desk, multiple front desk people to check you in, give you a temporary badge, tell you what floor to go to, call to make sure you can come up, etc. So you guys all have this vision of what I'm talking about. And there was a man who was the janitor. Absolute janitor. Had the push cart, the broom, the bucket, the whole deal, full regalia outfit on with all the keys. That man, okay? And he was like the docent of this property. I'm telling you, the most well-dressed gentleman, big power exec, going up to his corporate corner office, coming in, addressed this man. Made sure to go out of his way to address this man. People coming in that didn't know where to go, he's telling them where to go to front desk. People know his name. They're high-fiving him, knuckles coming in and off the elevator. And he is just radiating this light of joy and happiness. This guy had it made in the shade. He had no stress. He was living his best life and he loved it. You could see he had fun. He had swag. The way he moved with his cart, the way he was dumping trash cans into his big bin, putting back the bag, how he had a whole romance and routine that was almost like watching it be choreographed. And again, he radiated this joy and pride in the work he was doing. He was that designated authority and he owned his space. And it was, he did not allow to not be seen. Do you know how there's some people that do their job and they don't want to be seen? It's very clear. They are meek. They're trying to blend in. They don't want to be noticed. They don't want to even identify with their job. So much so they literally are blending into the ecosystem. This man was the exact opposite. He had pride. He had joy. And honestly, he was probably the most liked person there. I guarantee you this guy gets a raise every year. He probably has the best benefits, best work hours, stress at like zero. Okay. And everybody there knows him, loves him. And he's coming in and he's like literally the mayor of this corporate campus. It was such a privilege and it was so fun to just observe him. But it goes back to career and it goes back to your attitude about the choices of work you have to do. Do you have any input on that? Or what do you think about our janitor friend?
Well, you know, you bring up a very good story. And I love how you told it because there are those people that are, I don't even know, you want to call them the cheerleader, but they're just the man.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of it has to do with their personality, but also for the love of what they do. I mean, they could just enjoy, as you put it, as a janitor, dude obviously loved what he was doing.
He owned it.
And the thing was, is that he was then, because he owned it, he was then seen by other people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that, I mean, because I'll be the first one to tell you, if you say hello to somebody, like, say like you're that a power corporate woman and you're walking in and this janitor just says hello to you every single morning. First couple times you're like, whatever, you're a janitor.
Not me, but okay. Well, I would be hugging him and we'd be besties, but it's cool.
But there's a lot of that mentality that you're like, okay, you're beneath me.
Sure.
I'm going to ignore you.
And that's not
cool.
But
this dude's outgoing personality and this dude's I don't give a fuck attitude was like, I'm going to be nice to you no matter what. And what happens is it starts rubbing off. Mm-hmm. And so that this person keeps saying hey to you. And then you're like, hey, how's it going? And then, hey, how you doing? Hey, let's stop and have a conversation real quick. And that personality quirk then becomes more than just the job. Yeah. This person is actually a human being.
Yeah.
This person is actually somebody that is, you know, intriguing, despite the fact that he may be a janitor or whatever. And so he becomes one with everybody else. So everybody knows who he is. You're the kind of guy that you bring him a cup of coffee or a cupcake on his birthday.
Or you slip
him an envelope during Christmas and go, hope you have. But you know what I'm saying? You said there's some people that blend in with the ecosystem.
Yes.
This dude is the ecosystem.
No, for sure. He everybody set the tone there and it was bomb.
Yes. Everybody knows who he is.
No, he was great.
We'll call him Smitty. Okay. Everybody knows.
I know his name, but because of course I had to go talk to him and I got his whole story. Yeah. No, he was epic. He was great.
But so the thing is that this person becomes part of the culture.
Yeah. He was the culture. He set the tone for it.
And so that's amazing.
But what's so brilliant about it is usually the leader in an organization sets the tone. It's called the trickle down and it's always set usually by the leader. That's why the tone at top is so critical in any organization. And I've said this a lot in consulting and, you know, other previous jobs I've had, I've been really big about the tone I set for my team because it sets the whole tone for the organization and the culture. This guy was bottom rung. Literally janitor, okay? And he had the reverse effect because of the pride and the fact that he owned his designated authority, his lot, his deck of cards, whatever you want to call it. He didn't let it define him. Instead, he took it, flipped the script, and he defined it. And that's what I'm getting at here is there are times in our life where, you know what? We have to shovel shit. And I have a great example of that. A great example of that.
Do you shovel shit?
I shovel shit. I have. Absolutely.
Say that five times fast.
I can't. It's going to be terrible. I don't even know if I should be saying that word. Well, we say other words, but it's okay. We're adults here. So when I found out I was pregnant with baby Belle, my third child, I was in a stage where I had just gotten a divorce. My son had new lease on life. He was healing. And I purposely was taking 2 years and I had enough funds and I was very strategic to be able to take those 2 years off and just rebuild my life with my son and this new reality of where we were at. I was not planning to have my baby. I had baby Belle and it was very clear that I needed to have income come in very quickly just to live the life I want and the way I like to live with my kids. And let's be real. I had sold Fashion Week San Diego. I had closed my consulting business when my son went in the hospital and none of these things were in operating mode. They just weren't. I was in, you know, let's take a sabbatical right now until things get better with my kid and life. And literally then I realized I got to turn and burn. And I'm 5 months pregnant. I'm going to be going on maternity leave. I don't have the ability to go be that consultant and be that creative director and be on sets and throw events. That's not, I don't have the energy level, let alone for that. So one of the things, it's so funny how this all came about, is I have had chickens. I've always had chickens. I love chickens. They're great. And I was looking for someone now to come clean my coop because I'm pregnant and I shouldn't be cleaning a coop. It's not very healthy. And it's a lot of physical work. And I couldn't find anyone. There was like nobody. And I thought, this is crazy. We just got through COVID. Everybody bought chickens in COVID. All the moms in North County, San Diego, and South County, and homesteading, and let's can and make sourdough and have baby chicks. That'll be fun with our kids. Everybody's got chickens. This was a thing. And it still is a thing if you're still in it like us. But I knew I wasn't alone. I knew there were other people that traveled and worked. And now that things were opening back up and they're not at home all day long, who's taking care of these coops? Who's helping them with their chickens? So I, in 48 days, literally turn and burn cleaner coops, a chicken coop cleaning business. No joke. Branded out, ready to take income. I could not sustain the clients that reached out to us. This business, literally chicken shit, saved my life. Like, it's a joke and it's real. And out of all my businesses, and I've had epic ones and I've had a great career. Fashion Week San Diego forever is the hill I will die on. It was the best of the best on so many levels. But this business is so fun. There's no stress involved. The people who own chickens, my customers, are just wackadoo lovely people that are just lovely, funny, animal folks, cool folks, interesting. I can't say enough about how cool the customer base is. And then you're outside, you're with chickens. It's humbling work. It's dirty work, but it's clean money. And it literally saved my life. And then once I was able to then also facilitate now cleaning coops, if I wanted to, not just my team that I had to hire because I was having baby Belle and pregnant and what have you, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't realize how lovely it is to work with your hands and get dirty and talk about swinging the pendulum. I went from high luxury fashion, high luxury consulting, dressed to the nines, not any dirty work, really. Yes, production and load in and breakdown, and that is rough. And you throw on your yoga pants and your running shoes and your heavy lifting, but it's fun and it's part of the space and it fits it. And then you get dolled up and you do the forward facing stuff. But this was actual like human work. I don't know how to explain it. This is something like in our DNA as humans, being able to work with our hands and either build something, fix something, do something with nature, animals, livestock, outside, farming. I don't even know how to explain it. There was something very spiritual and very grounding and very humbling in the best way. This job literally helped me rebuild not only myself, but confidence, because I had, you know, pulled the e-brake on my career because of my son. And this was a great little entry point back into being a business owner and running a business that was very low stress and not even remotely as high end and powerful and the money on the table with the other business size I do. This is, you know, small potatoes, but this small potatoes was just epic. And it still is so fun. Like, I would never get rid of this business because it just has so many wonderful things. Then the other part of it that's been really cool is I can take my kids like in the summertime and they help and they do it and they use their hands. And there's something so good about that balance of being able to do it and knowing you're capable of doing it. And sometimes if you got to shovel shit, you got to shovel shit. Okay, guys. And knowing you can do it, but it didn't take away from who I am. Doesn't take away who I am. And so many times I think we get caught up with our ego in career where we get to a certain point in our career where we're like, oh, that's below me. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, that's not appropriate. And it's such a stupid thing because all you're doing is hurting yourself. If I would have let my ego get in my way, right? And not have just taken it. I saw an opening in the market. I saw a hole in an industry. I filled the gap. It's still very profitable. It's hilarious. Chicken shit is like, literally, I might put it as my license plate on my new car because it's that funny. Literally, it's the funnest thing I've ever done. But if I would have let my ego get involved or come have a seat at that table, there's no way in hell hell I would have started a chicken cleaning coop business and shoveled shit. You're insane. Fashion girls don't do that. Ugh. Ah, I can't wear, they don't make rain boot Louboutins.
You sure?
They probably do. I know they make beautiful leather, knee-high boots. I've been,
but you know,
I've been coveting a pair for a while.
I don't want to take this away from you, but I just thought of something for your second book.
What?
The title?
Yeah.
Chicken Shit Saved My Life.
I know. It's like chicken soup for the soul. It's like the same concept.
Yeah, but I'm
not eating my chickens. I'm not eating my chickens. I eat their eggs. No, but seriously, they've been so wonderful for my kids, for me, for life.
It should be. Chicken Shit Saved My Life.
You're hilarious. I'm actually serious. We'll get to it. Ritual is our next episode 16. But no, the second book I've kind of started drafting, it's actually Yelling at God is the title. So we'll talk about it.
Oh, okay.
You know me, I want to go deeper. I want to get...
Well, I would buy a book that said Chicken Shit Saved My Life.
Okay, Jay Brown, you will get rights. we'll work on that.
I'm serious.
Then we can make a made-for-TV movie and sell it to Hallmark.
I could.
Chicken Shit Saved My Life. Fall from Grace. Big fashion icon. Big fashion girl. City life. Looking good. Going to fashion weeks all over the world.
And you go to the country.
And then she goes to the country and is in rain boots.
You fall in love with
shoveling shit.
You fall in love with some flannel wearing hipster.
I probably would. No, he wouldn't be a hipster. He'd be a man.
No, okay, fine. He
wears leather gloves and smacks cows' asses. A whole herd of them with his rope and his gun on his holster.
Yellowstone meets Sex in the City. Oh my goodness.
There's my life. Where's the cowboy now, Jay? Where are you at, my man? If you are listening, please DM me. He's probably not on social media. Actually, my man, that man's not on social media.
Yeah, one. Do you see me anywhere near a cow, a horse, or chicken shit?
That's probably why we're not dating, Jay. Yeah. There's your answer right there.
Don't get me wrong. Wait. Don't get me wrong. I'll do yard work. I'll cut grass and clean trees with that. But you know what? Walking around in manure and stuff like that, that's not my thing. But anyhow.
It's great. It's good for you. It's good for your soul. It really is. It's good to be one with nature and earth and cultivate the earth and cultivate life on this earth and work with it. It's very humbling. I love it. Dirty hands, clean money. I'm here for it. And that's the other thing. Like, blue collar work is the backbone of all civilization and such a skill and asset. Like, one of the things I've already started dropping the seed with my kids is I want them to learn a trade. Now, don't get me wrong. My kids are private school kids. Probably one of them will totally bank it in Ivy League. Let's be real. We love that aspect of life and we're going for it. And again, it's their choice, but let's be real. It'll probably happen. But at the same breath, my kids are humble. They shovel shit. They're going to learn a trade because guess what? If COVID hits, pandemic hits, apocalypse hits, let's go conspiracy theorists. I know you're listening too. Whatever goes down, I want my kids to be able to do electrical and be able to turn on the lights. I want them to know how to work a generator. I want them to know how to feed themselves. I want them to know how to make money when other people who don't have those skills or traits or understanding or even their ego is involved won't do them. My kids are like, hey, you got 500? Great. I'll take your money. Watch, I'll fix it for you. You know, it's silly. But at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about here is being well-rounded, right? And we're having multiple careers in our lifetime. We're not just having this one career anymore. Those days are done. People are having multiple careers and we have multiple interests. And because, like I said in the beginning, when we started this episode, our lifestyle and the internet, you can have multiple businesses running in parallel and be equally successful at all of them if you so choose and are capable and that designated authority to make it happen. And in some situations, times get rough. We have to take care of our family. Things happen in our life that are out of our control. And we might have to make changes to our lifestyle and our career that accommodate what those challenges are. And you might have to do something that's out of your comfort zone that you wouldn't want to do, like shoveling shit or go get a part-time job, you know, folding shirts or, you know, slinging coffee at a Starbucks, whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with any of that. And the person who passes judgment or the person who has an opinion about it is probably the person that's lacking the most, to be quite candid. I'm hardcore about this. And again, if you listen to our last episode service, it's all about kindness, right? And how to be of service. So again, maybe sometimes in acts of service, again, if you're struggling with purpose, these two kind of intersect, these two podcasts, the last one and this one, 15 and 14 and 15 here. if you're lacking direction, if you're lacking purpose, sometimes the best, in my opinion, and always has been, the best businesses are the ones that actually change people's lives and make people's lives better and are providing an actual service and a really powerful one, a good one, right? And if you can fill the gap with some type of service and make it also a side hustle, oh my gosh, what's better than that? It's killer. It's absolutely killer. What are your thoughts, Jay, Mr. Brown, on career episode 15 here?
You brought up, you know, one of the things is that I know what it's like to, as you put it, have a trade. Because I still am a licensed and certified pharmacy technician. That was my first.
Oh, big pharma. Yeah. You'll be employed till the day you die.
Well, I mean, the funny thing about it is that I could go get a job.
Totally. But right. Isn't it nice to know that?
You know, it is. But the thing was, is that when I was a young man, it was fulfilling because it was a great career. But then when I realized that it wasn't filling the buckets that I needed to, mm-hmm. that's when I went back to school and I became a TV producer, or a news producer and a TV producer. I became a journalist. But I know what it's like to have that blue collar job and where you're grinding it out. And I know what it's like to have working multiple jobs. There was one time I had a full-time job and I had two part-time jobs. I know what it's like to just, you know, you have to hustle, but you're also putting on that smile and you're putting on that face to be like the janitor and going, hey,
I love that. Grit. It's, you know, the grit, that good freaking grit. You got to have some grit.
But, and one of the things is that it comes from work ethic. And I think what's lacking a lot nowadays with the younger youth that I'm trying to kick my son in the rear end for is
he can come shovel shit with my kids. It's a great job. Cash money.
Yeah.
Easy.
The funny thing about it, he enjoys his job a lot.
Well, he got the perfect job for his personality and his interests.
I'll put it out. He works at Legoland.
And where we live. I mean, yes. If you live by amusement parks and you have kids, I mean, like, that's a no-brainer. No, I mean, so
he's like, Dad, can I go work at Disney? I'm like, when you have a car, you can drive all the way to Anaheim for all I care. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But the thing was is that you know, they sent him an email about asking about spring break. He could have been one of those kids like, I don't want to work on a spring break. He's like, I just need one day off and I can work the rest. I'm like, that's my boy.
Good boy.
You know,
I like that.
And I told him, I said, in order for you to get ahead, you have to work hard.
Yeah.
And you have to show that you are capable of doing something. And there's been points where he's like, Dad, why don't I doing this, this, and this? I said, do you know why they put you there? Where have all your accolades come from? There's a Ferrari exhibit at Legoland.
I know, Bradford loves it.
And that's where
it's got the red one in it.
And that's where Ryan works.
I know, it's so cute.
And he's like, well, I want to do rides and all this other stuff. And I said, then you need to ask. You need to put yourself forward.
Yeah.
But I said, the reason why they keep putting you in Ferrari, because you keep getting pats on the back from everyone because you're doing such a good job, mm-hmm. because your personality shines, and because you're putting this wonderful face forward.
Well, he's passionate about it.
Exactly.
When you're passionate about something, it's not work. Like, I've literally never worked a day in my life. Like, I seriously really have never worked a day in my life. Since I had my worker's permit at 15 and a half, I've been very lucky that even on the worst day, in the worst situations and the worst jobs, like Neiman Marcus Couture, oh my God, worst, best job of my life. I met my best friend there on the floor and we were comrades against the front end of the fighting force of the old ladies. But no, I'll tell you what, best, worst job ever. But even with that, I have never worked a day in my life. I've been one of those lucky people on hard work, sweat and grit, tears, risk taking, all of it. And committed, didn't give up, you know, persistence is key too. But if you love what you do, or you like the industry or something that you're passionate about, or you dig it, you will never work a day in your life. And even when you are, you know, knee deep in the job of whatever's piling up and needs to be done, because it's still work, the attitude is not the J-O-B, the W-O-R-K. It's not that mentality. And I think that's the whole theme of this episode is, your designated authority, which I like that word better, right? Your role, whatever role it is you are meant to play, janitor, executive, somewhere in between, entrepreneur, working for the man, time stamping, whatever it is, okay? Whatever designated authority lot in life you are, find the joy in it. Take the pride in it. Make it fun again. Because ultimately, you're spending the bulk of your time in that environment or in that role. Be at peace with it, or find a way maybe doing acts of service or rituals or hobbies or other things that you can then divert some of that over into that space. So you're filling up the wellness cup, but still paying your bills and living your life and supporting yourself and taking ownership over the life you live, until maybe one of those things can become the side hustle or what have you, or you make enough connections that you feel confident enough to switch teams, level jump, industry jump, right? But at the end of the day, if we're going to be in any career or multiple careers or whatever we're doing, we must find the joy and peace in it and find the purpose in it. And if not, we're going to be really miserable and it's not worth it. And if we can be inspired by the story of the janitor, I mean, take that into your job. Really, take that attitude, that ownership. Be that designated authority. Have that joy. Take the pride. Do the work. I mean, if you're going to go and do something, do the work. Do the job. Don't half-ass it.
Yeah. I love what you said about, you haven't worked a day in your life. I mean, when I was in pharmacy, I did. It was monotonous. It was the same thing over and over again. But when I finally got into my passion and started working in television, I have not worked a day in my life. It's been fun. I've been around for some amazing and interesting events and stories and things that have shaped my life going forward, and things that I'll never forget. And when I tell the stories that I do, people are like, oh my God, how did, I'm like, it's one of those things where you just react and you went into it.
You're an adrenaline junkie. To be a morning news producer, you have to be a little bit of an adrenaline junkie. I was never a morning news producer,
whatever.
But you know what I mean? Evening whatever. That's even worse. All the shit goes down in nighttime.
It does. But one of the thing is I can tell stories about where I was when major news events have happened and how I unfolded it. I'll be the first one to tell you. I can tell you exactly where I was when Kobe Bryant died. And it's things like this and how I'm coordinating stuff from Las Vegas and my job is back in San Diego. But I agree with you that when you really are passionate about what you're doing, you never, ever, ever work a day in your life. And I think it's very important that you're passionate about what you're doing.
Yeah. And let's be real. When I say I haven't worked a day in my life, if you really want to know what it looks like, it's a Sunday. I'm here in my house and we're working. We're technically working, right? I work technically every day. I don't have a day off, but I'm doing something I like to do at the schedule. I want to do it. So yes, if you were to track it, it looks like I work an obscene amount, but it's an attitude thing. It's pleasure. It's an honor. It's a privilege. I'm very grateful. I'm humbled by all of it. And I like my reality check. Like, you know, I swing the pendulum. I go from helping people take ownership of their life to being on set on a luxury campaign to then shoveling shit. And I love that cocktail. That cocktail gives me career wellness at this point in my life. And I hope everyone finds the one that gives them the optimal wellness, whatever that looks like.
As you should. As you should. You know what my favorite cocktail is? This one right here.
You're ridiculous. You're fired. You're fired.
You could not do this without me. Don't even give me that stuff.
Humble, so, you know, balancing act
as
here.
As we wrap up episode 15, how can people get in touch with you?
With me. Ooh, I love this. Yes, please. So you can go to take-ownership.com. On there has access to the book, to coaching, to our soul boardroom. If you guys didn't know this, the first of the month, we actually do a group coaching session on Zoom. There's a link. It's $20. It's 30 minutes. It's Sundays. Sometimes it's in the morning. Sometimes it's in the afternoon. Like today, we actually have one at 3 p.m. PST time. And it's a great opportunity to come with like-minded people, be part of the ownership community, experience coaching with me. And there's always interesting topics and prompts that we work on, do a little breath work. It's some good stuff. I love it.
And how do people connect with you personally?
Ooh.
See, I'm throwing the softballs your way. You got to start hitting them, sweetheart.
I am. We're going on a journey, Jay. We're going on a journey. So on Instagram, you can connect with me at Allison Andrews Cancer or at take_ownership. And of course, you can connect with producer Jay Brown, give him some crap, throw some stuff back at him, throw him some softballs, DM him. Stop DMing me. DM him. No, I'm kidding. We love all the comments. It's funny. We love this community. Ownership is real. It's authentic. It's about our life. Our life is messy. If you noticed, our logo is that yellow paint splatter. You know why, guys? It's because life is messy, but you know, at the same time, it's beautiful art. And that's what makes it so awesome and so worth living. So we are real. We come to you real. We come to you authentic. We don't edit our podcast. If we mess up, we mess up. If we say something that's goofy, it's goofy. It's in here for life. And we are human, we are flawed, and that's what makes us beautiful. I love imperfect perfection, and that is ownership of your life. So until we meet again, if you're on YouTube watching me or us or listening to us, I want to say, what is something you can do to take ownership over your life?
If you like today's episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and like. Don't forget to get your tickets for the upcoming Ownership Launch Party on Sunday, June 9th. We will be celebrating all that is ownership with a book signing, group coaching sessions, and even a live podcast recording. Be sure to get your tickets now because this exclusive event will sell out. For more information and to connect with Ownership, visit our website at take-ownership.com.